Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. All right, hey, you guys know that I'm a wrestling coach, I'm a lifelong wrestler, and I'm passionate about the sport. That being said, all wrestlers love wrestling shoes. You got to have the best shoes. And for me, my top choice is Terra Grappler. This company's only been on the market for a couple of years, and they are making a huge impact, game changers. Ever since I started wearing Terra Grappler wrestling shoes, I have not went back to any other brands. First off, man, they look good. You got to be swagged out whenever you're wrestling, but they have to be functional. The fit and form of these shoes is tremendous. When I put them on, they have a sock liner. They absolutely mold to my foot. They feel perfect. I wear them on the wrestling mats. I wear them whenever I'm lifting weights. But honestly, I could probably wear them anywhere. They feel so good on your foot. So if you're looking for a good wrestling shoe, coaches, wrestlers, MMA fighters, boxers, weightlifters, make sure that you check out Terra Grappler. All right. They also have beanies, t-shirts, socks, accessories like that. But man, I'm telling you what, this company is innovative. They are changing the game. You can go to the link in my show notes, get yourself a little discount. You can also sign up for the Champions Club. So every time you purchase or people purchase using your link, you can get yourself a discount toward wrestling shoes and Terra Grappler wrestling gear. They are the best on the market, hands down, guarantee you. Check out the link in the show notes. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I am pumped. We have Gina Mazzani with us today. She is a UFC fighter coming off a big win last weekend, dropped down to a new weight class. And I was just telling her to look like an absolute monster out there. So Gina, thanks for being with us.
Thanks a ton for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So, all right, well, let's do this. I mean, for people who maybe aren't you, because I have coaches, athletes, businessmen, a wide variety of people that listen to this podcast. Tell us about your background. Where did you grow up at? Maybe some sports that you played growing up, things that you did before you got into MMA.
Okay. So I'm born and raised in Anchorage, Alaska. I was heavily into like winter sports, like snow machining, snowboarding. I was especially into figure skating. I was a competitive figure skater for about 6-7 years. And then when I turned like 17, 18, my brothers started training jiu-jitsu. And I was getting to the point where I was like getting some of my woman strength. And so like, I always had like bigger legs and bigger muscles. And my figure skating coach was like, very like, you need to lose weight. You need to get skinnier, like this and that, like never praised having like an athletic build. Long story short, that really turned me off to the whole figure skating thing. And my brothers wanted me to get into jiu-jitsu for like self-defense. I started doing jiu-jitsu and I like thought it was so cool. And I literally just dove myself into it. And I remember like leaving school and then I would like go straight to the gym and I'd be at the gym till like 9 p.m. every night and I would just try to get better. And my first fights were like these like boxing fights where you like literally go to a bar and you step on a scale and you're like, oh, you're within like 20, 30 pounds of me. Like, okay, we'll fight. And you get paid like, I think you get paid like $40 if you win and you get paid $40 if you lose. $100 if you win, like enough to cover your bar tab. So I did a couple of those. Then I did my first MMA fight and I just absolutely fell in love with it. But before that, yeah, I was a competitive figure skater. I did cross country and stuff in high school. I hated it, but I knew it was good for me. and then I moved from Alaska to Seattle I have a degree in graphic design. I continued to train. I competed like some grappling tournaments and stuff. And then I was like, after I got my degree, I was like working at my dream job. And all I would do, I was do graphic design for like this a cool company downtown. And I remember I'd always just be sitting there and like listening to like Joe Rogan's podcast, or I'd be watching the fights, or I would be like I wasn't meant to be there. So I packed up my Ford Focus, my dog and my cat, and I moved to Vegas. And then 2 years later, I got signed to UFC. Life's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go back real quick. I mean, I live in Kansas now, but I'm from the South, man, from Oklahoma, and I'm not used to snow. So I've gotten a lot more used to it as I moved a little bit north, but you grew up in Anchorage and then you're in a cold sport. Like I'm used to being in a wrestling room where it's warm all the time. So tell me about like figure skating, just watching, and I know very little about it, but it seems like a tough sport. It seems like that's probably, I would say like gymnastics would build a great base just for athleticism, athletic ability. So tell me about a little bit of that.
Yeah. Gymnastics is amazing. I wish I would have dabbled in that a little bit more. But yeah, figure skating, it was tough. It was just such a, like a perfectionist sport, and I'm already such a perfectionist. And this is something I'm kind of realizing just like this year working with my new coach, is that I tend to, if I don't get it perfect, I'm really, really hard on myself. And which some people will be like, oh, that's great. Like you strive for greatness, blah, blah, blah. But you can't sit there and wallow. And if you don't get something perfect, you got to move forward. So anyways, that's why, figure skating was just like kind of it was hard for me. Cause I wasn't able to get anything perfect, because I was obviously built for greater things, in my opinion. I hated the cold. I still don't like the cold. Especially now I'm like 10, 20 pounds lighter than I was. So I've got like that. I don't have that, my little bear fat keep me warm anymore. but yeah, it was cool. I think the figure skating actually kind of transferred over though a little bit to my MMA career, like, the hard work and, a little agile, trying to be like agile on certain things and quick and, graceful. I'm not very graceful, but yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I always like to look at backgrounds and in other sports and just see how, you know, there's always some sort of crossover, and whether it was the mental training, the physical training, whatever that comes with that. But now, you know, some people are just going to be listening to some podcasts. Some people will see it on YouTube. Looking at you right now, you know, you got pink hair, a lot of tattoos. I'm all tattooed up as well. I'm assuming you're pretty artsy. You were in graphic design. And so what kind of drew you to graphic design? And just tell me about sort of the artistic side of you. And I also want to know, does that come into play? You have a coach who allows his fighters to be themselves and really, so does the artistic side play any side of your combative side? Do they mesh?
I think they 100% do. Yeah, I've always been a creative person. That's always just been my outlet of, I remember when I was in school, I was going to school to be a civil engineer, and all my papers, like when I'd be writing notes, they'd just be like little doodles, and like my titles would look all cool, like the typography. And then one day my aunt was like, Gina, you know, you can like make money doing this. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, you can like make money doing art. And I didn't really like put that together. And so that's kind of how I went into graphic design. But yeah, I think it's super important to allow yourself to be creative. I think a lot of us like want to be creative, but they're like, oh, I'm not good. Or I want to draw, but I'm not good at drawing. Or I want to paint, I'm not good at painting or whatever. You just got to try to do things. And I think that really comes into play with my sport. Before, when I've had coaches before, there was such like a cookie cutter of like, this is wrong, this is right, this is how you need to do it. But let's be real, we're all built different and we're all different and we're always, none of us are the same. Like one thing my coach always says is like, there can only be one Tim Elliott. Only one person can fight like Tim Elliott, because he's a very unique creature in that, and with his decorated wrestling background and, his creative freedom, with how he rolls. And I think it's super important to be creative. But the thing is, like you said, like a lot of there's not very many coaches that will allow you to be creative. And James Krause, my new coach, is he encourages you to be creative, just, you know, but you can be creative and smart, just don't be creative and wild. I mean, too wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it definitely plays in.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I love you getting to use your personality, be you, and then having a coach that'll help kind of mold that. And I was a very creative wrestler. I'm a very creative coach. So James and I have a lot of the same philosophies. You know, when I tell my wrestlers, like, I'll never tell you not to use a move. I don't care if it's the craziest move in the world and you made it up. If it works, let's do it. Now, if you do it over and over and it doesn't work, let's stop or let's modify it. Let's figure it out, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, I think that really comes into play. Now, women's sports, combative sports are growing big time. Wrestling has been male dominated for a long, long time. Female wrestling, girls wrestling has just grown and grown and grown. And right now, for the last, I think, 3 years, it's been the fastest growing sport in America in high school and in college.
Love it.
And, you know, women's MMA is continuing to grow and get bigger and bigger. For you, I won't say you're like a pioneer. There were other women fighters before you, but you're still kind of like in this first batch of like these real, like, hey, true mixed martial artists that are coming in. What has it been like for you being a female combative athlete and maybe like starting back with, you know, jujitsu and then into what you do now?
Yeah, you know, I had my first fight when I was 18. I'm 32 now. So I've been in this game for a minute. And I remember when I first started training, I first went to my gym in Alaska, that there was one other female that was competitive and wanted to fight and stuff. Like, I remember it was like a very weird, uncomfortable thing for a lot of men. Like, it was like, like nobody wanted to go with me. And it's still, I mean, honestly, it still happens because I'm a girl. It's hard because you feather that line of like, guys don't want to go. Like, if a guy goes with you and you beat them up, they're like, oh, I got beat up by a girl. But if like they go with you and they beat up a girl, like, oh, I beat up a girl. Like, it's hard. I think it's hard for a lot of people to like understand that we are somewhat equal, like not completely equal, but like I can hang with most men for sure. I truly believe that. And I have, and, it's definitely not easy being a female in the sport, but it feels good to like gain respect, not like kind of like demand respect from the men, especially, but that's why I'm a big believer in like holding myself to how I'd want like my little one. Like, I want to hold myself how like other, like I want other little girls to look at me and be like, wow, that I want to be like you. Like, in the sense of like, I don't want to post, you know, like half naked things or like risque things, or just like try to show my, like, I want to like post like a takedown and have people be like, oh, that's amazing. Or, you know, have me decking some girl's face and be like, oh, that's awesome. But, because I don't think it's as easy to get respect from people when you're doing that kind of thing. So that was a big thing when I was starting out, is like getting respect from the male species. It's nice to be like looked at as like a normal, like equal athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, you know, appreciate that. And I'm a head coach of a men's wrestling team or a boys wrestling team and a girls wrestling team. So I'm head coach of both. And then I also have two daughters. I have two boys, two girls, and I want my daughters, whether they ever end up wrestling or doing combative sports or whatever, I want them to at least have those options and to see,
yeah,
hey, here's good role models. And you don't have to be this cookie cutter image of a female. You don't have to do, like, one of my daughters plays volleyball. My wife's a volleyball coach. I love volleyball. One of my favorite women's sports. But you don't have to just do the sports that are in school. If you want, you could also be a grappler. You could also go and be a fighter one day, whatever. The opportunities are out there. So I appreciate you being a role model and example in those areas. It's awesome.
Oh, always. Yeah. It's so important. Well, I'm blessed with like having Sterling in my life, Tim's daughter, and we get her most of the time. So it's like, she's like my daughter for sure. And I actually just posted a picture on my Instagram today of her. Her mom sent it to me, of Sterling was like wearing this cape and she's just like this far from the TV watching me fight in the third round. And like, just, and her mom said that she was just mesmerized by it. And it's like, and then you look over the next video, it's her later, the next day, and she's at grappling practice. And I'm like, I was like, man, I feel like she got like a little inspired by my fight. She was just like so extra aggressive. And like, it just made me feel so proud that she can watch me on TV and be like, okay, this is what we're going to do today at practice. So it's cool. It's fun.
That is. All right. Let's talk about mindset real quick, man. Cause I'm a mindset coach too. I'm huge in a mindset. What are some of the things that you do or have done that build your mindset to be able, I mean, cause man, anybody who has competed on large stages, or maybe you're a speaker and you speak on large stages, whatever. When you go out and you do something like that and you're putting yourself out there one-on-one or in front of a bunch of people, man, nerves come into play, no doubt. So what are some of the things that you do to build a strong mindset and combat the doubt that comes into all of us as humans, that comes into our minds?
So I'm glad you brought this up, because this is definitely something I've struggled with over the years. Like I think, and I'm the kind of person where I wear my heart on my sleeve, and it's pretty, I'll tell you how I'm really feeling. So my last fight before this one, when I fought Julian, I got dropped with a freaking liver, whatever. I remember leaving the Apex Center and being like, you know what? I'm done. I don't want to fight anymore. Fighting's not for me. That's okay to move forward. But a lot of it was like my mindset of, I was just like, didn't think I had anything else more in me. And then I'm grateful for James Krause. He brought that passion and love for the sport back again. I feel like it's now, this is, yeah, I have like a new beginning. So with that, a lot has changed in this camp where I like my mindset, especially, like, I think that's been my biggest change. Before, I was so result driven because I gathered up a few losses under my belt, and that's all I associated competing with, was losing. Like I was like, oh, I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose. And then I would be going to compete and the word lose would be in my brain. And like, that's not good. I don't care who you are. Like you can't go and try to be successful at something and think of something negative. So what James had me do is like, hey, we need to be performance-based. You need to focus on your performance. And so there's a few things I would do where, like, during practice, I would have Tim record my rounds, like my mitt sessions or my grappling sessions or my just my one-on-one sessions. And anytime I felt like that doubt, like it always happened to me in the evening time when I was done practicing, I'd be like laying in bed and I just like get this anxiety where I'm like, oh God, like, what if I forget how to fight? Like, what if I don't do good and whatever. And I would pull up my phone and I'd rewatch these videos and I'd visualize myself being successful. And I took the L word out of my vocabulary. I decided just to be all performance based and I just really believed and trusted in my training and everything I was doing. And with that helped with my mindset. And you got to make friends with those nerves, make friends with those feelings. I saw Mark Montoya and he goes the day before the fight, he goes, how you doing, Gina? And I'm like, I'm really nervous. And he goes, make friends with those feelings so they're not going away.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're right. Like I, you know, either go with it. I mean, might as well swim downstream. Why swim up it? Like, yeah. I mean, so yeah, there's a lot of things I did, but man, my mindset is so different. And I really think taking the word, being result-based, I mean, like, what if I lose? Cause I'm like, it's like, what if I win? Like, let's be more positive and think about that. So some of those things.
That's excellent. I mean, for all athletes, and we're a lot of us base our value. And I've done it before as an athlete, I've done it before as a coach, where we begin to base our value on our performance, or not our performance, but on our results. Right. So we always talk about control the controllables. We can control the way we train. We can't control all the little things. And if our performance and practice or the way we're executing isn't good, well, let's go back and continue to work on it. That's why we practice. We can't control results, but you can control everything leading up to that. Yeah, that is awesome. I love that. And the wording that you're telling yourself. So many nuggets of wisdom there. And hopefully the athletes that are listening to this and the coaches that are listening to this will take some notes and go back and add it. And like you said, becoming friends with nervousness, it's not going away. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right, man. That's our body's way of preparing. I mean, whenever you embrace it, it makes you a little faster, a little stronger, a little smarter. It's just your body's way of getting ready to go to battle, you know? So it can hinder you or help you, but.
Right. It's such a thing. Like I remember specifically like being in the cage and being like, man, I got these butterflies, but I'm ready to eat. Like I was just like ready. Cause I'm like, no matter how I feel right now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. Like fear isn't real. Pressure isn't real. All that's real is like my performance. And like, that's the only thing that is real. And I just gotta go with it. And I just gotta go eat. And my mindset going to that fight was just so different. And it felt so good.
Excellent.
Felt good.
All right. Let's talk Tim Elliott. All right. So your fiance, Tim, mm-hmm. Tim and I go way back. I mean, I actually got to, when he was in high school, coach him at camps. And then we end up working camps together and we've trained together a lot. And you know, we would be at camp and Tim is a hard worker, man. And I said this whenever I interviewed him in the podcast, but we'd be in between sessions and he'd be like, dude, put me through the hardest workout ever. So we would just have these insane training sessions and he's got that mindset, but Tim is also like a wild, funny, just real dude. Okay. So how did you and Tim meet? And then like, what made you mesh?
Oh man. Okay. So I remember I remember seeing him at Extreme Couture and being like, he was like a wild man. He had like his hair all wild and his beard. And I was like, ooh, who is this psycho? And I remember the coach would be coaching and he'd be like bounced all around. Like, and I was like, who is, and I had no idea it was Tim Elliott. You know, like I was just like, who is this guy? Like, and then he got his hair cut and he cleaned up and I was like, oh, okay. He's looking kind of cute. And I remember one day it was sparring and I go, hey, you want to spar? We sparred. He beat the crap out of me. Like, he didn't hit me hard. He didn't like knock me on my socks, but he just like constant pressure, volume, made me cry. So I get off the mat, I'm crying. And I take a round off and I go and find him again. And I go, can you spar another round with me? Like, I'm very emotional. And he's like, okay. And I went spar another round. Same thing happened, but I was just like better about it. And so that's when I first was like, okay. Long story short, our coach ended up killing himself, Coach Robert Fallis, and he was out of fight. And I slid into his DMs and I was, hey, if you're like in town, if you want to get together, and like, long story short, we ended up getting matching tattoos that evening and like said we loved each other, and it was just crazy. And but now like we've grown a lot together, like a lot together. Tim, we're just like both a little bit more of adults in our lives. And, but he has just been so fantastic for me. And I think I've been pretty good for him as well. But especially like in the fight game, like this, especially this last camp, I was on a 15-week training camp. I was strict dieting for 10 weeks. And he was so supportive throughout it all. And like, so patient with me. And, you know, there'd be times where I wake up in the middle of the night and I'd be like, Tim, I'm scared. Like, what if, oh, the fight and this and that. And he talked me down and, you know, cause you know him, he's a mental, like, he's so great here and he's such a competitor. And it reminds me that I can be great here and I'm a competitor. And, we work really, really well together. I'm super, super duper happy with him. He's pretty crazy. He's a psycho, but he's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Tim, anybody that knows him, like you said, he's a psycho. I mean, his energy level is off the charts and his personality is huge, but it makes him so fun to be around. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember whenever he went to the Ultimate Fighter, I was with him. We were walking back from lunch to a session and he got the phone call and he told me, he's like, don't tell anybody yet. And I'm like, all right, dude. So I was like pumped, but he, like you said, just like, I can see him bouncing around his energy all the time, but I could also tell when I talked to him a few weeks ago, just how much more mature he has gotten as a human being in the fight game, as a dad, So I'm glad that you two are together. I mean, how rare is it? You got two UFC stars that are, you know, engaged here. I would think that sometimes, and Tim told me this, he said, sometimes I have to realize like, I can't be coach. James is the coach. And so he said, but we do work really well together. And so I know that sometimes that could be a little difficult if he's coming in and telling you like, you got to do this, this, and this. And so I'm sure times that you like, hey, I want your input. And there are probably other times like, shut up.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like at the beginning, well, we're in Vegas. Like, I'll be honest, we weren't getting coached too much. Like we, you know, wasn't getting not nearly as coached as I am now with James Krause. And so James, so Tim would fill that role a little bit and man, it would drive me crazy sometimes, but it's because it's my man. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, you won't do the laundry, but you won't do the, you know, but you want me to go in and shoot a double. And then like, you know what I mean? Like you want me to do all this stuff, throw more volume and Yeah. And it's just, but since it's been nice since that we've had James as a coach, because then the times when I do need him to coach me, I love it all. And I really appreciate it now because it's, you know, like everything in moderation.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah.
But.
All right. So looking to the future, what are a couple of things here looking to the future, but what are your goals, desired outcomes or whatever in your UFC career?
So I would really like to get a winning streak going. Obviously like the top 10 is I do see that in my future. I want to pick off a couple of the bottom tier girls though. First, I started my UFC career fighting Sarah McMahon for my very first fight.
Yeah.
And then I kind of got tough opponent. And not saying that the girls at 125 aren't going to be tough, but like I was fighting ranked girls for my first run in the UFC, kind of like Tim, not as nearly as tough, but yeah. So I would like to get a couple of those girls and then eventually like make my way up to the top 10. And I mean, eventually one day maybe fight for the belt. Like that is a goal that I see, and I don't see it too. It's not too far out of my vision, but, I just really want to become extremely comfortable with myself and comfortable with my game and confident with my game. This last fight I had skyrocketed my confidence, something I really needed. So I really think it's just I don't know, more good things to come. But yeah, my goal is I'd pick off some more girls, get a couple more wins, fight as much as possible. Tim's fighting mid-January, so I'm going to be training with him, getting ready with him as well. So it's like if something does come up, I'm hopefully it won't be too big or anything, but I can be prepared to be ready for that.
Yeah, awesome. Now, beyond the UFC, one day whenever you decide, like whenever you and Tim are, hey, we're good, we're done fighting, and all athletes, you know, whether your career ends at high school, college, pro level, whatever sport somebody's in, at some point that career is over and then you move into something else. What is your dream beyond the UFC? What do you see yourself doing?
Honestly, being a mom, I would love to be like, I would love to have a kid and just be a mom. And, but also with that, I have other dreams. Like I wouldn't mind getting on the coaching side of fighting. Like I always like admire having, we have Alexa, she just turned pro. And like, I love seeing hardworking female, like young girls that I want to help you get as far as you possibly can. Because I didn't really have anybody like that. I guess Misha Tate was really cool with me, when I moved to Vegas. Like she's the one who got me the opportunity to fight Sarah, but like, I want to be able to do that for other girls. And, I think I'm still going to want to be involved in the MMA world because yeah. I mean, how could we not?
Yeah.
But yeah, I honestly, like, I'd really like just to be a mom and like a homemaker, but I don't know. I like to hustle and grind. So I'll probably end up doing other stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think you could successfully do both, you know, get to follow that dream and also coach. And really, how important is it? I was just racking my brain as you were talking there, how many female MMA coaches are out there, and especially who have fought at high levels and know not just what it's like to step in the cage, but everything else that goes into it, the eating, the mental side. I mean, just there's such a wide variety of things, right? And you know, right. All that, and then to be able to pass that knowledge on to somebody else and help them, that's right. Huge and important.
Yeah. And I think especially like females, like we bring a little something different to the table. We're a lot more emotional and like like James knows, like I'll call him crying sometimes. He's like, he's not used to it from his male athletes, you know, but it's just females, we're just built differently. And I said that in an interview, how I said something about females, or I'm a little bit of a head case because I'm a female and I cry a lot. And someone was like, you can't put that on, or you can't blame that on just your gender and this and that. But I'm like, it's like science. Like, we are a little bit more hormonal, like we do cry more, and that's okay. I'm not saying it's bad, but yeah, I think it'd be kind of cool to be in that kind of position and help out other girls or other guys. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do both, absolutely. But and you know what I love here in the realness and the transparency. I'm a huge GSP fan, George St. Pierre, for a long time, like one of my favorite fighters. But I like to hear him interview because George is real. Like he'll be like, "Yeah, I'm scared to death when I walk to the cage." He doesn't have this false like, "Oh, I'm a tough guy, and I never get scared." And he doesn't like. And so to hear like, "Hey, the real emotions," like you said, I mean, you do get nervous or scared. You know, you do cry sometimes. This type of thing. Guess what, man? When somebody else is in that position and they've heard this now from a high level fighter, they'd be like, "Okay, I'm not a weirdo, or I'm not wrong." Like everybody's
right.
This, right? So yeah, so we have to have that transparency to know like we're all humans and we're all going to have different type of emotions.
100%. At the end of the day, we're all humans. That's so big. But once you realize that you are only human, and that like these feelings and emotions and nerves that you have are pretty normal. It makes things a little easier because then you're like, okay, well, this is normal and just gotta make friends with it and embrace it. Just go with it. It's not going to change. It's not going to go away. So yeah.
Absolutely. So, all right. Well, with all my athletes, I'm talking to you, I like to do this, man. As an athlete, you got to have fast feet. You got to be able to move. So I'm going to throw out three options for you. You can answer all three, or you can just choose one and expound upon it. So tell me about a highlight in your anything in your life, a highlight, a hero, or a hardship. Or like I said, it could be all three, or it could be one. A highlight, hero, or a hardship.
Highlight would probably be my finish on Saturday. That was really cool. I'm gonna talk about hardship. When I fought Macy Chaelsong, and she knocked me out, and I was so bummed out because I've never been knocked out before. And it was like one of those things where it's like, you're forced to quit because you're physically out. And I remember thinking going to that fight and I was like, I'm going to the death. Like, I'm not, I'm going to win this fight one way or another. And I got clipped and it got me knocked out and there's nothing I could do about it. So anyways, the management I was with was like, I was like, "Hey, I want to get back in there. Like, I want to fight again as soon as possible." And they're like, "Oh, just stay fight ready. I stayed fight ready for like 6 months. And then I found out that UFC actually cut me and nobody told me, but I was like preparing for a short notice fight. I was just like mentally, physically getting prepared. And then I found out I got cut and like, man, that just really put a rain on my parade. And like, it's same kind of thing where I was questioning, like, do I even want to do this anymore? Is this like really what I want to do? And I took a fight in like a regional show and I won that one. And then, but it was nothing. It's something like a UFC win. And then I got the call to fight Julia. I kind of touched on this earlier, but then I lost that fight. And I remember just thinking like, I'm done. Like, I just don't want to do this anymore. And like, I've been doing this for over 10 years. And not once have I really thought I was quitting. And like right then and there, I really thought I was done. And like, it was just like so depressing. And I was like, I wanted to go further in the sport. I wanted to get another win. I've always wanted to finish. Like, I've never gotten that. And that's when James Krause was like, asked Tim, like, "Hey, give me Gina. I want Gina for like 2 months." It's like, "Let me work with her, blah, blah, blah." So it worked with me and like awoke the passion and stuff again. And I'm just like, it was so like those, it was so hard. Like it was so hard going through all that because something you worked so hard for and you kept failing. And then I got my win this weekend and I went through like a crazy hard training camp. And I probably, I think that training camp was like hands down the hardest training camp I've ever been through. I put in over 20 sessions or over 19, 20 sessions a week sometimes. On top of like dieting like crazy, on top of trying to help take care of my family. And it was just so hard. There were so many times where I was like, wanted to give up and stop, but it was all worth it. Looking back, I'm like, I don't regret working hard at all. I never have, you know, like there, that's the thing. And it made me realize, I'm like, when do ever people like look back and like, God, I wish I would have worked so hard. Nobody ever does that. So why not work hard? Like, hard work, meeting opportunity is one of the best things that could ever happen to you. So yeah, that would probably be my hardship of just like failing. I think I'm getting a shot and then I fail again. And it just, but after all that like fighting in that cage for 14 minutes, like made it all worth it. Like my performance and all worth it.
Yeah. I love hearing that so many times. I mean, none of us want to go through hardships and it's part of life, but there are so many rebound stories, right? Where somebody like gets into the valley and goes through the hardship and then they come back out. And, you know, you just talked about hard work. And my dad, you know, being my dad's a Hall of Fame coach. And I remember people would come over and talk to him and they'd be like, man, coach, I wish I would have listened to you. I wish I would have worked harder. I wish I'd have done this or that. And then they would leave and he would be like, you know, I was a kid. And he'd be like, did you hear that? Like, I don't want you to ever look in the mirror or come back and talk to a coach and say, I wish I would have worked harder. You'll regret that. You'll never regret the hard work that you put in. And
ever.
So hearing you say that and, you know, knowing that the level you're at, man, that just, that's something that we all have to do. And every successful person I talk to, no matter what avenue they're following, no matter what they do for a living, there's like one thing you can't skip and it's the hard work.
That's it's so real. And you know, it's so much easier to go into like when I was talking about the mindset and like feeling confident, like how can you not feel confident when you know all the work that you put in? Like mm-hmm. we know no stones are my last fight, like no stones went unturned. Like every stone was turned perfect. Like I beat it into my brain, like everything I wanted to know, everything I needed to learn, like know for this fight. And it's, but you, like I said, like you can't regret hard work. Like it's so, such valuable stuff. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. And you can't make it up. You can't fake hard work either.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I love that you said that. I mean, I always tell people you can't fake confidence because at some point you'll hit adversity and then we're going to know if you're truly confident. You can't fake shape, right? Mm-mm. If you're in any sort of combative sport, we're going to know that pretty quick.
Right.
Those are all things that you can't fake. So, all right. Well, thank you so much for your time, for jumping on here, sharing your wisdom. This has been great for me to listen to. One of the things I love about this podcast is I get like free knowledge and wisdom from some of the highest performers in the world, right? So you guys are giving me a college education. So
heck yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Man.
So fun. Yeah, well, thank you again. I appreciate you being on. You know, you and Tim, you guys are exciting to watch as athletes, exciting to learn from, and you're doing great things. So I just want to
say,
yeah, you bet. Now, where can we follow you on social media?
I'm on Instagram or Twitter, Gina Danger AK, GINADANGERAK.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is in the show notes, I'll put the link in there in the show notes so people can get
heck
on.
Yeah.
They can follow you.
Heck yeah.
Put your UFC link and all that stuff. So again, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And for everybody listening, this has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, shine his face upon you, and give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey, before you go, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And then a couple things that I would ask. One is hit the subscribe button. That way, every single time a new episode comes out, man, as soon as you open up your podcast app, it is right there, ready to roll. You can listen to a new one. The second is, if you would, and we earned it, give us a 5-star review, a quick written review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, that's great. You know, one of the ultimate goals is to grow this show and to positively impact as many people as possible, and that helps. And then lastly, jump over to lanefrostbrand.com. Visit my friends over there. You know, this is an incredible company, family-owned, operated, honoring the late, great Lane Frost, who is, you know, a former rodeo champion, was one of my idols growing up. And this is one of my absolute favorite companies. So if you need ball caps, t-shirts, all kinds of apparel, again, go over to lanefrostbrand.com and check them out. Thank you guys again. Much love and God bless.
Podcast complete. Now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins. Tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step. CSL rep. Pop, lock, and rock. Coach P, who never stops.